Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our 121st episode of ABC Islam and our 86th episode of our second series, Islamically Independent. We are two Muslim sisters talking about the ABCs of Islam all the way to XYZ. Today we're going to be talking about a very important topic, and that is all about cancel culture. Now, cancel culture is something that has become almost a trend on social media, especially over the last few years. And I think that this is something that everyone has either been involved in themselves or they've heard about, or perhaps you may have even received cancel culture yourself, even within school or outside of social media. So in this episode, inshallah, we're going to be talking about what is cancel culture, some examples of cancel culture, what does the Quran say about this topic, and lastly, we're going to be giving advice specifically for two categories of people. Number one, if you have received cancel culture yourself, and number two, if you have given cancel culture or you have advised someone before and it ended up sounding like cancel culture, and you know, what should you do about it, and should you really be doing this again? So inshallah, this podcast episode will be informative, but over here, I want to introduce my sister. So how are you doing today? And, you know, what do you think about this topic?
Wa alaikum assalam, everyone listening to this podcast. And I'm doing amazingly well, alhamdulillah. And this topic, I feel like it's really, really prevalent in 21st century, because as everyone uses social media, everybody has access to whatever is going on between celebrities and against celebrities as well. And they have an idea of who they support when it comes to a fight, for example, or somebody says something wrong and they can actually go against it if they want to. And they can just easily use the energy of the fingers and just type whatever they want across the screen and press send, and that's how we can cancel anyone at any time. So if you're a public figure, obviously you're a very dangerous place, honestly, because you have to be very careful about what you share and what you don't share. And as a consumer, you need to also be very careful about what the things that you're watching and who you're following, so that you don't fall into that cancel culture toxicity. So I think that this is a topic that everybody will be benefited, whether you're a consumer or a public figure yourself.
100%. I think everyone should be very informed and very knowledgeable on this specific topic. But, you know, alhamdulillah, I'm doing well too. Not that she asked, but anyways. But if you'd like to know more about us, then please, you know, make sure to check out our trailer or alternatively the description box below. Now, without any further ado, we're going to get right into the cancel culture topic. And the first question, which actually my sister was supposed to ask, what is the first question?
The first question that we're going to be asking ourselves is, what is defined as cancel culture? That's very important. So do I say the definition first or you?
It's me, and I'm going to be discussing what does cancel culture mean. So for those of you who may not know or you want a good definition, it is the mass withdrawal of support from public figures or celebrities who have done things that they aren't socially accepted. So we are going to be giving some examples of cancel culture, but essentially it is when, especially if we see the Islamic perspective, if someone does something haram on social media, like let's say publicly, like let's say there are a Muslim figure and they put something on, like listening to music, and perhaps a lot of Muslims believe that music is haram, then they might go on to cancel that person and say that, oh, you're a Muslim figure, or you're a mufti, or you're a sheikh, how could you put music on your video, that is haram. Because of course they have a certain responsibility and they are an influencer, they're going to influence people. So if you do something that is Islamically not right and you're a Muslim figure, then other young people can also get influenced, which can actually harm the ummah, which is why a lot of people participate in this cancel culture. But to give more explanation on what cancel culture is, I'm going to now be asking my sister the second question, and that is, give some examples of cancel culture.
Okay, so the examples I'm going to be sharing with you all is just for knowledge purposes and not to criticize anyone or think that they are really bad and we should not be following them. So the first person that I can think of the, in the Islamic world, basically, that was the first person that we were thinking of this particular, I would say that he's a really good scholar. I don't know if he's a scholar himself, but if he calls himself that, but he's a really good speaker in the Islamic world. And he was involved in this. I don't know how to say that word, but it's when somebody makes... Oh, I forgot the word for it, but...
Do you remember? I'm not sure what she's saying, but...
Like, they describe you. Like, they describe you... or they share pictures of you and stuff. And I can't really say too much without even saying the name, but he was involved in this scandal. I think it's a scandal. That's the word. I think he was involved in a scandal where everybody found out he was having this affair with someone, and it was really public, and there was pictures involved and messages involved and so on. And that really did disappoint me in a way. I'm not going to lie to you, because I've been his avid listener for a very long time, for many, many years. And he used to give very comedic and Islamic, you know, advices on relationships, marriage, how to live your life as a Muslim teen, or especially when I was a teenager, I also used to listen to him and so on. And it really did hurt me, and it break my heart in a way, seeing him involved in this kind of a scandal. I don't know if it's true or not, but he was involved in this, and everybody started canceling him because, you know, they were very surprised and shocked that he could do something like that. And honestly, I never expected this to happen, because he used to say so much about haram relationships and so on, and he was involved in one, apparently one himself. So that made me really did hurt me. And in a way, it also showed to me that you cannot fully trust anyone's figure, like anyone on social media, because at the end of the day, everybody's performing on social media. You have to perform on social media. You cannot be just yourself fully how you want in the bedroom, basically. So yeah, that's what basically made me realize in a way.
100%. I think that is definitely a very controversial one. And again, we're purposely not naming names, because I think that it is their past and we're not supposed to disclose sins of others. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you do know that person, just try to not share their names. But, you know, I think that sharing the sin, or like what it is exposing it without sharing names, is hopefully benefiting you to know what does cancel culture mean. And we're not doing it to hurt them, as my sister said. But the second person that you may or may not know is actually this Muslim lady, or this Muslim woman, who actually took off her headscarf or hijab, which is something that definitely became very viral on social media. And the reason why this became viral is because we know that, of course, hijab is compulsory in Islam. But it's not, I don't think it necessarily was just about the fact that it's compulsory and that she was taking it off, because again, in the end of the day, it is everyone's journey in Islam, and when they want to wear it, when they want to take it off. And your iman is going to fluctuate throughout your lifetime, and you know, Allah will put different intentions in your heart. So perhaps in that time, she just had this very big intention to just stop wearing the hijab, or she was going through her own, you know, trials and hardships. But at the same time, the reason why people got triggered was because she herself literally had a business of hijabs, and she, you know, was literally funding a whole life through hijab, essentially. Like, imagine you are funding your whole life through something, and then you stop doing that thing, but you're still gaining money from it. So it's like when you build your brand around something, it's like, for example, someone who has built their whole brand around studying, but they drop out university themselves, or they don't study anymore. You know, it can seem a bit hypocritical. So that's why a lot of people are triggered about that. But that's another example of cancel culture. And I think that my sister's going to very briefly give us the last one.
So yeah, so this one, again, was a very big one in the past couple of years, where this imam, basically, he was involved in a little bit of trying to reform Islam certain way, and he has his own, you know, academy, and he publishes a lot of reports and really good doctoral type reports and academic work and so on. And so everyone considers him basically as a very respectful imam in America. And it's very important that I mention that, because it's completely different to where we live right now. I think the first one was also in America. And so he has been involved, I think, no, did not, the woman was involved, is based in UK, but the other two are in the USA. I'm so sorry if you already, if you know, because yeah, anyway,
we can't really cut.
But if you know who we're talking about, that's absolutely fine. You already know the story. Anyway, but the third one that I want to mention very briefly is about LGBT, and how this was such a big thing, and how they support LGBT, basically. And obviously, if you're a Muslim, you probably know that LGBT is haram, completely haram in Islam. So you cannot even reform it. You cannot even think about it, reforming it and putting in our culture, in our Islam, basically. So if an imam can do that, then obviously people who are not imams, like me and you, are going to think that, yeah, this is absolutely fine. We can go to, you know, pride parades and just cheer, you know, cheer whatever they're cheering, basically, and support them. So that's not absolutely right. And that's why people started canceling him, basically, and his academy. I don't know if that's been successful or not. So I don't really much about it, but it was a really big thing back then.
100%. So that was essentially some examples. Hopefully this was informative to where cancel culture was displayed. And again, it has definitely become something more popular over the years. And it didn't used to happen 15, 20 years ago. Like, you know, first of all, there weren't that many Muslim figures anyways. And secondly, now that there are more, and because anyone can freely post comments, they think they have the entitlement to just post anything, which again, to some extent is good, but to some extent is bad. There is a good and a bad. But moving on to the next question, that is all about what does the Quran say about cancel culture? So I'll hand over the mic to my sister for this question. What does it say about cancel culture?
Okay, so now we're moving on to the Islamic aspect of the podcast, and I would like to mention a Quranic verse that is really, really good when it comes to this. As I mentioned before, Quran is like the best book in the world in terms of living your life, because it tells you little bit. It tells you so much in so little. And the first thing that I would like to say is in chapter 49, verse number 6, and I quote, "O believers, if an evildoer brings you any news, verify it so you do not harm people unknowingly, becoming regretful for what you have done," end quote. I think this is such a good topic, and such a good quote when it comes to this topic, because I feel like, you know, as a consumer, let's say, we can find so many different kinds of news that comes and bombards at us. For example, The Sun, The Guardian, Twitter tells us so much news. But we as consumers have to be smart and think that, wait, is this actually true or not? It's like you have to question like the sky. Like, for example, the sky is pink. No, it's not. It's blue. You have to verify it for yourself, because you can't just believe whatever is written on social media and it is quote unquote accredited by someone who is really knowledgeable or expert level and so on. So in the same way you would critically analyze in an essay, for example, in school, you have to critically analyze whatever is also written on social media. You can't just think that this is it, because that's not true. Because, for example, let's say if an attack happens somewhere in any country and so on, you have to really truly verify it, whether it has been true or not. And you will see many times as well. And also sometimes what they do is that, you know, they just put a statement out saying that this has happened and so on, but you have to really see if it's actually true or not. You can't just believe everything that is written on the news or Twitter or anywhere on Instagram. And it's very important that we question ourselves, basically, whatever we watch, whatever we see, wherever we go as well. So, and I think there's also another story we can talk about when it comes to this quote and verse, where I think that Aisha radiallahu anha was actually accused of something. I remember the story. That's a really good story in terms of that she has, I remember the full details, but maybe if you do, you can talk about it. But that will be my part.
Yeah, so the story was, I think there was one of the Sahabas or very close friends of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I think they were going in a desert or some other place, and Aisha radiallahu anha was left behind, and there was also this other male friend. We apologize for not knowing the name, you know, what happened was that then people started, you know, spreading rumors that they had an affair together, mm-hmm. Which obviously made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam I'm very, very upset. And, you know, it was not about the fact that, you know, that it's his own wife doing it, but also the fact that, you know, his wife never told him if it did really happen. But eventually they did find out that Aisha radiallahu anha never did any of that, and it was all just rumors spread around society, which is why you can't, if the Prophet did not, you know, follow this verse, then he could have just easily said that, oh, everyone is saying it, so therefore it must be right. But actually, it's not true. You need to question the person. It's like when someone's spreading rumors in school, don't be quick to believe it. Go and ask the person directly, is this true, what people are saying about you? And always try to assume the best of people. But moving on to essentially something I wanted to quickly mention when you said about, you know, how you shouldn't believe everything is also, for example, on social media, people thought the Day of Judgment was going to happen in like 2012. I know that there was this time where people were thinking that Day of Judgment was going to happen and everyone was selling their clothes and doing all random things because on social media, they said Day of Judgment was coming. And first of all, Allah would have said in the Quran when it's coming, but he said we clearly don't know, because we don't know and we can't just predict it's going to happen. And secondly is basically the fact that also I remember for Palestine, they also made this World Tahajjud Day, which was actually for free Palestine, where everyone was going to pray Tahajjud together or something like that. But that's actually a bid'ah, which is an innovation, and that's actually haram. You're not supposed to create new things. So that is very, very relevant to the verse, in my opinion. But I want to quickly mention my verse as well, that my sister found from Hadith, which is Tirmidhi. And I quote, the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I not tell you of something that is better than fasting, prayer, and giving charity? They said, yes, indeed. He said, reconciling between people for causing division among people is the shaver that shaves one on religious commitment, end quote. So essentially, my sister gave more of a, you know, we both are giving kind of the striking the balance between when you give cancel culture, it's so important to have the balance between, you know, making sure that first of all you verify the information. Like for example, if someone did, like for example, that you know, scholar who did, for example, have a haram relationship, you can't just believe it just because someone posted it on social media. You need to dig in and do your research properly before spreading it around to your friends and be like, oh my God, did you know that there was a scholar who did this? Don't do that. First of all, verify the information. And secondly, if you're about to cancel someone, make sure that you actually remember that reconciling between people is better than taking people away. Because when you do cancel culture, as I said in the definition, it's about withdrawing support. And what you're doing is you're essentially kind of breaking the ummah. I know that you might say that, oh, but it's a good thing because I'm taking people away from haram. Like, you know, I'm telling them not to listen to music, or I'm telling them that, you know, they can't do haram relationships. But in the end of the day, what you need to realize is that ummah is about unity and it's about bringing people together. So before you do cancel culture, remember that you are also going against something the Prophet said himself, which is that you need to reconcile between people. So that's again having the balance. In cancel culture, you need to be really, really important. Is this really worth for me pointing out? Or am I going to actually be breaking people away? Or am I going to potentially stop people from converting to Islam just because, you know, they might think that, oh, wow, Islam is so strict and all the Muslims are always against each other? That's not really a good representation either. So I personally think that cancel culture based on the Quran is all about striking a balance. Do I really, first of all, have I verified this information? And secondly, is this really worth me pointing out, or am I going to be breaking people apart?
I think that's a really good strategy, in my opinion, when it comes to living a life cancel culture free, because you always have to make sure you verify. And number two is making sure that really do point to, like, is this really worth breaking? Pointing or breaking people apart. Like, it doesn't, I think that's a really good strategy, not gonna lie. But now I'm gonna be moving on to, I think I'm gonna ask you, which is that if you get cancel culture, let's say you're a celebrity and you're receiving cancel culture, let's say.
But that was your points.
Oh,
so
okay.
If I've given cancel culture.
Oh, you are the consumer, basically. Let's say if you're a watcher of YouTube, a viewer of YouTube, let's say, and you watch this particular person and you think that they're doing something wrong and you wanted to give them cancel culture, what can you do in that situation?
Yeah, so I think that definitely that's something that we have probably all experienced, because especially if you listen to this podcast, I'm going to assume you perhaps also watch YouTube videos of specific topics, and you might see scholars or lecturers and you might just see that they've done something that is wrong. And I think the first thing that you should do before you point it out to that person, that, oh, but why are you doing this, brother? Why are you doing this, sister? That's haram, in the comments, or, you know, perhaps even starting a riot, is that you need to really remember that you need to, of course, we need to judge what is apparent. And of course, it is okay for you to, you know, point something out that is not right. And I think that that is a job of a Muslim. And just to quickly go, I don't want to go into Andrew Tate, but one thing that Andrew Tate really liked about Islam, for example, is the fact that we Muslims do support each other and we do help each other out when we're wrong. And we do, you know, we do stand up for each other. So for example, you know, he said something about how, for example, if we have, for example, like Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if someone like a non-Muslim says something wrong about the Prophet, we all go to defend him, whilst in other religions such as Christianity, they wouldn't really defend that much. So that's something that's really good about us. So yes, if you do see something wrong, like let's say a sister is wearing nail polish and praying in the video, and you're like, oh, are you supposed to wear nail polish while praying? You know, she might put the halal nail polish that is out there in the market, or she might actually be, you know, doing something else. And it is okay to assume the best, but also if you feel like at that situation genuinely that brother or sister doesn't know that it's haram, I think it is okay to point it out. And it's all about using your common sense and your gut. Like, if you know that this person already knows the haram relationships are haram, you pointing out isn't really going to benefit them that much, because they're probably not going to change. Especially, also, do not do it in public, because whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give advice, he would always do it in front of, you know, do it privately. He wouldn't do it publicly. So that's also something that you really want to look at as well. So I would definitely say that make sure that you actually judge what is apparent and only give knowledge when you think that that person genuinely does not know that piece of information. And don't try to obviously do it to make yourself look better, like, I'm a better Muslim than you, that's why I'm going to give you this piece of advice. The second second tip I would give, if you want to actually help a brother or sister out there on social media or in face-to-face, is to, of course, make sure that you actually try to pick the good of a person. And of course, this is where you want to assume the best, because in Islam, we're always advised to assume the best. Like, I don't want to refer wrongly to a hadith or anything, but I remember that there was a specific story where, you know, the Prophet would always keep assuming the best of everyone. Like, even if there was a person who was clearly doing wrong, he would try to assume the best of them. And, you know, it's like, for example, yeah, like, you just want to make sure that you try to assume the best. And again, I think where I really want to emphasize this is, for example, with the imam. So let's say that or the scholar that we were talking about before, about having a haram relationship. Just because he had a haram relationship, and he, by the way, he did seek forgiveness and he moved on from it, and he also said that he wasn't going to do those activities anymore. So if he has done that already, I don't see why we should stop listening to him. Now, if he's giving the same good advice again, I don't see why we should stop listening to him. I don't like the fact that, you know, in cancel culture, as soon as someone has done a sin, we can't listen to them anymore. That's absolutely not what it says in Islam, because everyone sins, everyone commits mistakes, but it's about you learning from that mistake. It's about you seeking forgiveness from Allah and moving on. That's what makes us Muslims, and that's what differentiates us from every other religion. So you need to pick the good of a person. And, you know, if after that person has seeked forgiveness from everyone, that, yeah, I'm sorry that I put music in this video, I won't do it again, for example, then, you know, you should just move on. And you shouldn't be like, oh, I can't listen, I can't even look at this person anymore, they're such a harami. Like, you can't do that, because you're a sinner yourself. We are all humans, okay? Mm-hmm. So definitely try to pick the good of a person and assume the best. And the last tip that I would give, in terms of if you want to point the sin out of someone, is to, of course, follow your gut. This is again about common sense. Do you think this sister knows that haram relationships are haram? If the answer is a yes, and you clearly know that she knows it's haram, I don't see where's the point of starting a riot in the comments talking about how she has a haram relationship. Instead, you should focus your energy on yourself. And that's what something Mufti Meng said, which apparently became very controversial as well. But I think that it is right to a certain extent that if you know that this person already knows, there's no compulsion religion, you can't force them to now stop the haram relationship. But if you know that actually, you know what, this sister is a revert, she might not know that actually having a haram relationship is haram, then it's right to give advice. So that's basically the advice that I would give. So make sure that you follow your gut and use your common sense when giving advice.
I think those were some really good tips in terms of, if you are a viewer of social media and you use social media, what are the ways that you can avoid giving anyone and everyone cancel culture and stuff like that. But the ones that I'm going to give is basically, let's say if I'm a public figure and if I have done something wrong and there are many people who are trying to cancel me, what are the things that I should do? So the number thing that I would do is make sure that I give out a statement. I apologize to everyone for causing any inconvenience and so on, and try to be really clear, but also not over explain myself in a way, because that can cause a lot of, you know, reading in between the lines. Oh, what does she mean by when she said this particular line in this post or something like that? So it's very important that you just, you know, say very clearly that you're apologizing and for causing an inconvenience. I'm really sorry for disappointing you guys, and I'm going to become a better person, inshallah, like all those kind of things. I think the second thing that I would do very simply is disappear. Now, this depends on the level of number of subscribers and followers you have on your social media accounts. The higher you have, the longer you have to stay away from it, because I feel like it will take a really long while for people to like really calm down and cool down and kind of forgive you, basically, in a way. I'm not saying that these people are like, you know, in jail and stuff and they have to forgive you and stuff, but I'm just saying that to calm down the situation and so that people forget what you have done, I think the second thing that I would do is just disappear. If you have a lot of, I would say if you have 500k plus followers or subscribers, you should go away for like 2 months at least. 2-3 months is preferable because then people will cool down. But if you have less than 500k followers or subscribers, I would say 1 month is enough, basically. So it just all depends on your level of publicity and how famous you are. But that's what I would do. And number three is making sure that you are, whilst you're away, don't just sit down and don't do anything, basically, but just focus on yourself. And if you're an Islamic figure, for example, a Muslim figure who is really famous and everything, and you've experienced in council culture, I would say definitely please learn on your deen and know exactly what you can actually say on social media and you can't. Because sometimes some people just pick out hadith on a random website and they just put it on the social media and think that that's halal, but that's not. So you have to really do learn whatever you put out and make sure that you do your research really well and learn about yourself, of course. And try to improve yourself and focus on yourself and become the best version of yourself. So whenever you come back and you want to restart your business or your entrepreneurship or whatever, then people see that you're a different person. You're just not the same person again who's going to make this kind of content and make a mistake again. So these are the three tips that I would definitely give all of you guys.
100%, I completely agree with those tips. I think that cancel culture is something that is beneficial to society to some extent, but then to some extent otherwise it can just become toxic and it can actually hurt the ummah more than benefit the ummah. So definitely make sure you do try to follow these tips, inshallah, and I hope it did help, inshallah, to any of you guys. But alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of our wonderful episode today. We really hope that inshallah you've learned something new. Also, if you do not know, we upload weekly. We try to upload weekly in our Islamically Independent series here on ABC Islam. If you're excited, then please subscribe or follow us on podcast platforms such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Most platforms are free and you don't even need to log on. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah bless us all, and we will inshallah see you next time. Assalamu alaikum.